Well, how you doing? I know some of you got to be tired. My God, I'm tired just looking at you. I almost got killed 3 times tonight. I want to thank you again for providing jet propulsion fans over here. Brother, stand there with me. Brother Eric said, now I know what you meant by the breeze this morning. I'm sure I saw one guy. He must have been going at least 90. And he almost took out 4 people all right there in that corner right there. That's a danger. It takes faith to sit over there. It's not for everybody. Don't try this at home. It takes a professional to sit over there. Maybe seated. No sense you having to stand while I ramble for a little while. And distinct pleasure to be here. I didn't even miss being home. Matter of fact, it's a relief. And I'm glad to be back here at New Life. New Life. New Life, right? New Life? Right. And it has been a while. I remember so distinctly Pastor Sutton sharing with me his dreams for the future, which included this building. I preached over any other building, I think at least on 2 occasions. And the last occasion, I think the more I've thought about it, the block was up on the footers, but the slab wasn't poured yet. I think that's how it was. And that was the last time I saw this building. And all it was just almost nothing. And love those chandeliers. And they are totally cool. I'm just curious why you put any over here and over there. We can talk about that later. Tonight, I am not starving to death and melting away right before your very eyes. We went to Bill's or Bob's Big Boys or someplace and ate 4 pigs. At least I felt like, what was the name of that place? Jim and Nick's. It's 2 gay guys sell pig meat. If I oink every once in a while, that's just because it got a hold of me. I really don't want you to lose what you got going around here. Never take it for granted. Never take it for granted. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How many believe the Lord is good? When we get to the other side, we're not going to say, look what I've done. We're going to say, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? We need him. We need him more than we know that we need him. If the righteous scarcely be saved. We need him so much that in our best efforts, we're just barely going to make it. Because the enemy seeks to take advantage of us, to gain advantage. And when you're hurting, that's where he wants to take advantage. Hey, do you still have the PowerPoint from this morning? I'd like to go back to it. I'm not going to take off from where we left this morning, but down toward the end, you're going to see John chapter 14. Is that going to be hard to do? And it's going to be in the Amplified. It's going to be about probably 6-7 slides from the end. I'm sorry, I should have thought of this, but it just kind of popped up on me. This is a very important scripture in my way of thinking because I think it speaks to that while it's going, please. We could just do what we did this morning. Here is a whole chapter of Song of Solomon. There it was, all seven chapters of it, or however many's in there. There it is. Did you see the pearls? Is that what you really mean? Would you like to know something about that? Then fight me back and I'll tell you all about it. But see, the deal was that, you remember, he realized what he had to do when he was in a difficult situation. He needed to grasp more grace. See, every challenge, you can't live off last year's blessing. You can't live off last week's blessing. You really can't even live off of today's blessing. Because it's no longer Sunday morning, it's tonight. And every challenge requires fresh grasping. Every challenge. You got to get what you need for that challenge. And remember the perils of Paul? Perils here, perils there, perils among false brethren, perils this, perils that. How many know what I'm talking about? Act intelligent for just a minute. All right. By the way, what's wrong with all these seats right over here? There must be some, is there a dead cat over there or something? This looks like a place where nobody wants to sit tonight. There's a little spot right here too. Kind of matches. Anyway, how did the man survive shipwrecks, beatings, false brethren? That's the worst, you know, when a Christian hurts you. And the care of all that. How did he do that? In each situation, in each peril, nobody in their human strength could survive all that without losing their mind, backsliding or something. And in each situation, he had to pull. You can take that off before it gets old on my. Can you just kind of blank it out for just a second? Okay. Thank you. In each situation, he had to grasp a hold of God afresh and gain new strength, because living for God, our strength gets depleted. You know, we need renewal. Make sense? Okay. Thank you, Caps. Anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4. And a smattering of others. And now, an oyster. Anybody here eat raw oysters? Are they good or what? A little cocktail sauce, a little horseradish. Come on with that. On a saltine cracker, you'd be doing good right there. Well, you know, do you eat them? Do you eat raw oysters? That's sad. It takes a man. To eat an oyster. It's not for the faint of heart. You really don't eat them. You just sort of mush them on down. But at any rate, oysters make pearls. And the way an oyster makes a pearl is first he's got to get a thorn in his flesh. It comes from an agitation of a piece of grit, piece of sand, and the soft flesh of that mollusk is irritated and pained by the gritty, sharp edges of that piece of sand, kind of like a thorn in the flesh. And so he can secrete this liquid. It's called nactre or something like that, N-A-C-R-E, I believe it's spelled. And it's this fluid, milky fluid stuff. And he secretes it around this thorn in the flesh, this gritty, scratchy, painful piece of grit. or sand. My mind went blank. And literally thousands and thousands. And so when he secretes that nectar, it solidifies and hardens around this piece of grit and creates smoothness instead of that scratchy irritation. And over a period of time, 7 or 8 years, and thousands of layers of this milky fluid that's hardening around this painful, thorny situation, you've got a very valuable pearl that started because of a very painful, irritating, invading situation. And so when we're going through tests, trials, disappointments, heartbreaks, challenges, crises, thorns in the flesh, it hurts because we're sensitive. It's painful. And when you grasp grace and get a fresh breath of God, it's like that nectar. It just goes to that hurting place and has a way of, we want God to take it out, but God wants to make a pearl out of it. And so with every peril, he turned his perils into pearls. By grasping grace and surrounding the hurting areas with grace. And it was how he was able to get through it. And it was the way to survive the thorny things in his life. And so it is with us. Just like when we're in perils, that means troubles, difficulties, kind of scary times. If we'll go to the altar, if we'll go to our knees and grasp some grace and get in the presence of God and surround that painful, God may not take the painful thing away. He just may want you to make a pearl out of it. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul makes this statement, I am now ready to be offered. And he was about to get his head cut off, and he did. And he said, I'm now ready. Now, why wasn't he ready? But now he is ready. He didn't die of a heart attack or cancer or leukemia or a car wreck or a chariot wreck or a dumb horse wreck or something. He was beheaded. He lost his head. Preached his head off. And he says, now I'm ready. Which implies he wasn't ready, but now he is ready. And to be ready, he had to go through those perils, those thorny experiences, and learn how to make pearls out of the perils. And by making the pearls out of the perils, is this resonating with anybody? To make pearls out of the perils, he finally had enough pearls where he could say, I'm now ready. Now, are you ready? How many pearls you got? Did you just gut it out and kind of complain? Or did you get grace and cover up the rough spots and cover up the hurting places and just let God be your comforter? Hallelujah. And this scripture in John depicts to me, if you'll follow me, if you don't mind me kind of taking the time to do this. This is Jesus speaking, and this is the amplified version of the Bible. And he says this, peace I leave with you. How many believe God left peace with you when you received him into your life? About 50%, not bad. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you, not as the world gives, do I give you. I'm not an Indian giver. I don't give something and take it away. It's there for you at all times. What is your name on the end of the row? Dwayne? Is that what you said? Tony, I'm sorry. What's funny about that? Oh, okay. Yeah, Dwayne and Tony, man. You can mix that up anytime. Well, Dwayne? Looks like you might be off the hook for a while. Did you make a pearl out of that peril? God says, now let's get something clear. I've given you peace. I'm I'm not taking it away. It's there. Now he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Since I've given you this peace that's not leaving, don't let your heart be troubled. Now the King James says, little children, don't let your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. And we kind of read that as good funeral kind of scripture. Little darling baby. Oh, don't let your little heart be troubled, you poor little baby. This is a command. This is an order. He's saying, Dwayne, read it where it says do. See it? One, two, three, fourth line down. Read that line.
Do not let your heart.
Oh, that's wimpy kind of reading there, Dwayne. You can't be reading like that. Yeah. Do not let your heart be troubled. You got to read it, man. I mean, put some oomph into it.
Do not let your hearts be troubled.
All right, yeah, that was pretty good. Now I want you to read it like you're a drill sergeant in the Marines.
Do not let your hearts be troubled.
And in that, there's an implication you're going to get a whipping if you do. The way he just said that. And I think what God is saying is, I've given you enough peace that no matter what you go through, what perils come your way, do not allow your heart to get whacked out or freaked out. Look what else he says. Don't let it be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Do not. That means you have a choice to freak out or just rest in your peace, to get upset or just trust God. That means you can be going through an impossible-looking situation. And God says, don't let your heart get troubled. Control yourself. Rule your spirit by the peace I've given you that I'm not taking away. Now, a lot of times we get peace. The bills are all paid. No. Oh, my God, I don't have enough money to pay the bills. Well, I still have peace. You get peace before answers come. You have peace before deliverance shows up. You have peace because if you let your heart get troubled, that's when you're giving Satan an advantage. He wants you getting troubled. He wants you getting agitated. He wants you freaking out and getting upset. He wants you wondering, how long am I going to stand here talking to you? He says, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Keep reading for me. Just kind of normalish.
Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed.
Stop it. Stop letting yourself get agitated and disturbed. Now, I'm not speaking as one who's got this all down. He's saying that to all of us. But I'm learning to stop getting agitated when things don't go the way I want it to go. Stop getting disturbed and just walking in that peace. Can somebody say amen here?
Amen.
How many can see where Satan's been trying to get advantage by getting you warped out and upset and kind of off base? Can I get a witness from somebody out there? All right. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed.
Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled.
That's unbelievable to me. Do not permit yourselves. In other words, he's saying, get some dominion in this area. And be at peace and make pearls out of your perils. You don't have to go to the psychiatrist. You don't have to go backslide. You don't have to get upset. You don't have to kick the dog. You are allowed to kick a cat. At least as far as I'm concerned. I like squirting them with a squirt gun. Get far enough where they can't tell where the water's coming from, you know. Anyway. So, I'm going to tell you right now, something's going to happen this week that's going to try to disturb you. Now, I'm challenging you. Don't let your heart get disturbed. Say, no, not going there. I'm just going to grasp some grace right now. He's going to try to agitate us, Pastor. Here's what I want you to say. No, I'm not going there. I used to go there. Not going there anymore. I'm just going to make a pearl out of this peril. I'm not going to give Satan an advantage over me and start working my motor over and get me all worried and upset. I got peace and he's not taking it away. It's here right now. Regardless of my situation, I got peace. Unspeakable. Joy unspeakable. Peace that passeth all understanding. What does that mean? It means it's a peace you can have when you should be freaking out. It's a peace you should have when you should be getting agitated under normal situations. But we're not under normal situations. We're under supernatural situations. And Jesus said, I've given everything you need for you to stop letting your heart get troubled, agitated, intimidated, and unsettled. Keep it together, he's saying. Don't give Satan an advantage. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
How many make that commitment with me right now? That even this week started tonight. Maybe something will happen tonight or something will try to agitate you. And Satan try to see if he can knock you off the place that God's trying to put us. Because no matter what kind of stand you take, somewhere along the line, something's going to challenge your stand. And what if we could go through trials like we weren't going through a trial? What if we could go through some fires as if we weren't going through a fire? And we had the same attitude we had in the valley that we had on the mountaintop. How many's ready to push Satan off the hill and take the hill and say, I'm no longer letting you take advantage of me in this area right here? If you're for it, would you stand with me right now? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we are right now taking a step forward. We are no longer going to let Satan intimidate us. We're not going to let him unsettle us. We're not going to let him put fear in us. You've given us peace. And we're trusting that. We're resting in your peace. We're going to let peace be in control, not fear, not intimidation, not troubledness. We're no longer going to let our heart be troubled in Jesus' name. Give us your grace. We can't do it without you. Help us to make pearls out of our perils. Help us to just grasp what we need to not let our heart be troubled. Would you pray for your neighbor and ask God with a loud voice, ask God to help that brother and sister be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the name of Jesus. I'm not going to give Satan an advantage. I'm not going to give him an advantage. Let's open our Bibles, please. You see, if he can get you agitated, upset, and troubled, you're going to miss what God wants to show you. And that's where the advantage is lost. Psalms 105. Now, Brother Eric over here, I asked him what time you normally got out. He said, sometimes it's late, man. So, blame him. And Luke 8, if you'll turn there too. No Bibles. See, the screen, that's for people that are lost and didn't bring Bibles. For people that, you know, don't have it together and don't want to have to bring a Bible. You know, when you're home by yourself, you can't go look it up on a screen. You got to get familiar with this book right here. Sorry about that. It's a little pet thing. Psalms 105. I'm going to verse 37. It's not in the PowerPoint. You can just cool it till I get there. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. Brother Deckard, good to see you tonight, my good brother. Talking about bringing them out of Egypt. And gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Ooh, that must have been some kind of people. Not one feeble one. Can you believe that? Out of 3 million or so? Not one pitiful person? That'd be nice. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. And here's where the PowerPoint is. He opened the rock, and the waters dribbled out. Is that what your Bible says? Or is that what the screen says? What's your Bible say? Gushed. Not dribbled, not squirt. Gushed. There's been some gushing tonight. The waters gushed out and they ran. The waters put sneakers on and started running, just like a bunch of you tonight. They ran. Where did they run? In the dry places, like a river. The waters ran to dry places. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus gives us a parable of the sower of the seed. Some fell on wayside, some fell on thorny ground, stony ground, good ground. Familiar with that? Thank you, Caps. Everybody got them? All right. In verse 6, in Luke's rendition of that parable, this is Jesus speaking in the King James, and some of the seed fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away. Why did it wither away? Because it lacked moisture. Not because there wasn't any soil or because the seed wasn't any good. There was enough soil for it to spring up. But then it withered for lack of moisture. Jesus interprets himself in verse 13 of that same chapter. He interprets a parable, and he says, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, everybody say temptation, they fall away. I want you to remember that word, temptation. In the New Living Translation, both verse 6 and verse 8, we're going to read in the New Living Translation. Now, you're going to be sitting in just a little while, and I'll still be standing. And you'll be sitting for most of the rest of the service, and I'll be standing for the rest of the service. So I don't really care how long you've been standing. Look at the New Living Translation. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying. Everybody say underlying. Underlying rock. This seed began to grow, but soon it withered and died for lack of moisture. Jesus interprets it in verse 13. Remember, in the King James it said they believe for a while. Temptation comes, they fall away. Look at the New Living Translation. His interpretation. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy, but like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe for a while, but they wilt when the hot winds of testing blow. Not if the hot winds, when the hot winds of testing blow. Isn't it amazing? Who was the genius who figured out how to put 1 cent worth of water in a bottle and get a buck and a half for it? Who was the guy that thought that up and convinced us to buy them by the piles? unreal. But there's a company in my area, Walmart. You think that was one? It's the first time I ever asked a congregation that question and somebody gave me an answer. Amen. In my area, there's a company that makes water. They use reverse osmosis. That's osmosis going backwards. You get some osmosis, put it in reverse, and that's how you can make water. It's osmosis spelled backwards. I don't know what reverse osmosis is. But they call the name of their company Drink More Water. That's sort of, it's the next slide. It's, I think you skipped a slide. Did you? Okay. It's a company in my area, Drink More Water, and that's the title of my message tonight. And if I go late, Eric said it was all right. So your popularity is about to be tested. Drink more water. You ready? Will you preach with me? It's not something I do, we do to you. It's something we do together. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, if there's a word here for us, quicken it to our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ. We don't want to be like this one soil that just the seed died for a lack of moisture. We want to have all the moisture that we need. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. God bless you. Couple of scriptures. Can you freestyle for a minute? All right. In Job chapter 14, a lot of people don't like the book of Job. Reminds them of Job. They get nervous. Chapter 14, look what it says in verse 7. Verse 7, it says, now there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet, verse 9, though through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs or branches like a plant. Amen. Just by the scent of water, it gives this cut down wounded tree hope for a new day, because water is life-giving. Nothing that's alive can live without water. Water is essential to our well-being physically. In Zechariah chapter 9, in verse 11 and 12, there's a very interesting scripture that relates to water. In verse 11 in chapter 9, it says, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant. I'll just start that one over. As for thee also, by Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. That's where we were spiritually before we were born again. We were prisoners in a pit. And in that pit, there was no water. We were thirsting for something. We were starving and shriveling and withering, trying to find some satisfaction out of life. And we tried this, that, and the other thing. And we try to climb out of that pit and slide right back down into it and try something else and something else. A pit where there is no water. What a pitiful prison. That's so where our world is. They're just in a pit with no water, Pastor. You know, when Adam and Eve, you teach the search for truth or exploring God's word. Okay? You know where they're in the second lesson, we talk about Adam and Eve. Talks about when they were separated or cut off from God because of sin, because sin separates. God said, if you eat, you're going to die. And they did not die physically immediately. They did eventually because they're no longer with us. But they died instantly spiritually. You see, we're built out of... Can you listen for a little while, Mo? Are we okay? All right. We're made of three components. Body, some small. People like that I hate. Some not so small. Bodies. Amen. Soul, our heart, mind, emotions, our thinking, our inner self, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Our spirit is that part of us that can feel God and relate to God and sense God. It's your spirit. We don't reach out for him physically. We reach out in our spirit seeking God, and we make contact. We feel after God and make contact with God. How many's made contact with God tonight? That's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. That's why you feel better when you leave than you did when you got here. Because when you make contact with the living God, that's why religion can't save anybody. That's just doing rituals. We're not about religion. We're about relationship. And when you make contact, it's life-giving. Because we were dead in our trespasses. But he quickened us. He. When you got into God's presence, your withered, dead spirit started to drink some of that life-giving water of his presence, and your spirit started to come alive. And when he baptized you with the Holy Ghost, that was a spiritual resurrection. You died to the old life in repentance. You were buried together with him in baptism. And you were raised in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in newness of life. And when you were resurrected from the spiritual dead to the spiritual living, your spirit came alive. That's why you walk around like this for about a week or longer. The sky got bluer. The birds sounded more beautiful in their singing. So what you used to like now made you sick. And what you used to not like now is what you wanted. The bar you used to go to makes you throw up thinking about going back. And when you used to think about going to church and you wanted to throw up, now you can't wait to get here. Because your spirit was alive and now you see things like God sees them. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? I'm worried about that wall and that wall. There's nobody. All right, we got some holding that one up. All right. I love your shoes, by the way. They are gorgeous. Would you step on up here, would you? I think everybody ought to see this fashion statement. Come. I think this is great. This is a good way. Come right on up here. Come on. Is that a good way to come to church or what? Now, this girl didn't come to church to priss around. Check me out. She came ready to worship God. That's awesome. Thank you. That's great. That's right. She's ready. You may be seated. That's cool. That's great. What we need to do over here is bank that corner. Kind of get a bank that thing. It's too dangerous. Anyway, so our spirit came alive in his presence. And it's like life-giving water Right? The water that I shall give him shall be a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. That living water makes me alive in him. That I need that water. I need that blessing. I need his presence because it helps my spirit stay alive. That's why I need to pray in the morning. I don't mean, Lord, bless me today. Help me not get killed on the highway. Help my kids. Amen. We need to have a little time to connect. To get our spirit revived so we can see what he sees throughout the day and we can sense him and look for opportunities that he might have and be able to live above sin and above temptation. Because when we start getting a little dry, suddenly we just kind of get a little ornery and a little agitated. And a bad mood Christian is a Christian that hadn't drank some water in a while. And we get little doubts that start creeping in, and we get kind of, you know, all out of sorts, and because we're getting a little dry, and our spirit's starting to wobble just a little bit, and that third part of us is starting to just kind of starting to, you know, get a little weak, and this is where Satan tries to take advantage. And he says, oh, you don't need to pray today. You're going to pray tomorrow. And there's another day we get just a little weaker and just a little weaker, because the only way we can be successful, the only way we're going to get to the other side, is to keep coming in his presence, to keep our spirit alive, to keep our spirit strong, because we can only be as strong as we are in him. And so what the enemy tries to do is cut us off from his presence. Get your heart agitated. Get your heart troubled. Get you upset. You go to high school? Kindergarten, what? It'll come to you. Just think about, you know, what you did Friday. Was it high school?
Next year.
Okay. So that's no. Right, it's just simple. Okay. It's funny. People just say, I asked one person his name one time. I said, what's your name? He goes, I said, look at your driver's license. It's written right on there. That's why they give you a license, because in case you forget your name, you can look right there, you know. So you're in ninth grade, eighth grade? Eighth grade? You're a very mature eighth grade girl. That's cool. That kid over there thinks that's hilarious. Hey, man, when you get to high school, and you maybe have already experienced this, you know, not everybody in that high school is going to appreciate your lifestyle. I'm sure you've experienced that. And that's a kind of a tough thing to go through. Why don't you cut your hair? How come you don't wear no pants? You see, their spirit is dead. They can't understand a person whose spirit is alive. They understand people that are... They don't understand people that are... What you smile about? I don't know. I'm just happy. My spirit is a candle of the Lord. I'm lit up. They're going to be talking about the football games tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the house of God tomorrow. They're going to be talking about dead stuff, and we're going to be talking about alive stuff. Does that make sense? Amen. They're excited about stuff that's meaningless, and we're excited about stuff that's going to last forever. Because our spirit is alive. The key is keep it alive until we hear the sound of the trumpet. Because until we hear the sound of the trumpet, we are somewhat in jeopardy. That if we get away from the life source, if we get cut off from the life source, our spirit's going to shrivel right on down, and we will automatically revert eventually back to where we came from and back to what we were, if not even worse, if there really are seven more devils that come than were there when we first got saved. Are we working here? Is this working for you? And so he refers to his spirit as water. That's why Job said a tree that's hurting, a tree that's cut down, a tree that's been wounded, if it can just even smell water, New hope springs up within it. Just the idea there's water around here somewhere. That tree starts shaking. That tree starts stirring. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something about the power and the ability of water. Just talking about coming to the house of God. Just talking about getting to prayer. Just talking about getting in His presence. You know what? If you get whacked, if you get hurt, if you get hit, amen. If you can just smell. I smell some water. I smell some Jesus. I smell a Christian. Amen. If I could just get a smell of it, that's how much it can help me. And this is where all of us came from. And it's where God, the devil wants all of us to go back to, a pit where there was no water. And the reason they couldn't climb out is because they were just body and soul with a dead spirit. And dead spirits can't do anything. To do anything to save themselves. Blah, 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 blah. Amen. If you weren't here this morning, get the tape, and why weren't you here? Amen. At any rate, you may be seated. And so, that's what the psalmist said what he meant when he said, "Oh God," in Psalm 63, verse 1, "Oh God, thou art my God." Anybody know the next line? "Early will I seek thee, because my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." There isn't anything out there that can revive you like a little talk with Jesus can do. There isn't anything out there. It's a land that has no water. Amen. It cannot keep your spirit alive. It'll kill your spirit. It'll trash your spirit. It'll cause you to collapse. But at 1 minute in the presence of Jesus will cause new buds to begin to sprout. It'll cause new growth to come. Why doesn't somebody just lift your hands and take a drink of water right now? Because the Bible says, "With joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation." You don't want to forget when you're running in this church that it's more than just a physical exercise. It's a dip into the well and pulling out a bucket and saying, "I'm so glad to have another drink of water." It's not just to have fun, and it is fun, but it's also to get in contact with God and drink 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 and not just sit there and look. You see, looking is not the same as drinking. You may be seated. Anybody thirsty out there? Let me help you. That help you thirst? Probably made you more thirsty. Did you ever hear somebody say, "Well, I get my blessing watching somebody else shout. My job is just to watch." Well, brother, there comes a time you got to quit watching and go get a drink for yourself. Just like watching me drink didn't do a thing for your physical body, watching somebody else get blessed isn't going to do anything for your spirit, man. You got to get in there for yourself. You got to talk in tongues for yourself. You got to worship for yourself. You got to drink more water. Yesterday's water is gone. You need water again today, and you're gonna need it tomorrow, and you're gonna need it Tuesday. That's why you gotta supplement your water experience on Sunday with prayer on Monday and prayer on Tuesday, and come back to the old watering hole on Wednesday and stick your head in there and get all you can, but go back to prayer on Thursday. You got to drink more water. I say you got to drink more water.
Yesterday's blessing isn't going to carry you through today. Everybody lift your hands and praise Him in tongues right now and drink. Draw some water out of the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, praise Him with a loud voice. Praise Him in tongues, loudly, joyfully, lovingly. Drink, 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 drink. It's not religion, it's relationship. It's not religion, it's life-giving. It's essential. Ezekiel 47 and 9. Come on, keep drinking, keep drinking, keep drinking. Amen. Amen. There may be a trial tomorrow. Get some water. There may be a test tomorrow. Drink some water. There may be a battle tomorrow. Get some water. Don't go into the battle without any water. You'll never win the battle if you don't have a sufficient supply of water. Jesus. You may be seated. Ezekiel 47 and 7 says now, 47 and 7. Now, thank you, I told you wrong, I'm sorry. Now, when I had returned, behold, the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and the other. Did you ever notice on a farm where the creek goes, that's where the trees are? Amen, because they can get some water. If they're out there in the middle of the field, there wouldn't be nearly the supply of water. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. Wherever this water goes, and he's talking about the flow of God's Spirit from the throne of glory and from the altar, if you read early in the chapter, and he's saying wherever these waters go, there's healing. There's blessing. That's why you don't want to bring an umbrella to church. You want to bring a bucket. Too many people bring it up. Oh, there they go again. Pop up the umbrella.
Aren't they cute?
That's not going to get it. Amen. And then he says in verse 9, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. Anything that gets in the water, that moves, that lives, amen. If the water gets to them, they're going to live. Amen. I remember when I went into that first Pentecostal service, man, they acted just like you did. There was one guy I thought for sure his foot was stuck in a socket. All he did was this all night. One old lady, I was sure she was a professional softball player. She just kept going like this. Woo! They were running and carrying on and going, bouncing off the walls, all 30 of them. And I didn't know why they were doing it. But something, I was smelling something. Something was splashing out on me. Something was getting on me. My spirit started going, what is this? This is something I've been looking for. This is something that's been missing. This is something that I need. The rivers were coming through from the altar of God through the body of Christ and started splashing up on me. And when those waters got on me, I started to live. I started to come alive. My spirit started coming out of the grave. And when the altar call was given, I beat feet to the front. And in about 5 minutes, God baptized baptized me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He gave me that wonderful living waters experience. And I talked in tongues for a good long while. Amen. Because I was so thirsty. I got baptized in Jesus' name that night. And on my way home, the Lord spoke from within me. Oh, this is what you've been looking for. This is what I prepared you for. This is what you're searching for. You don't need the drugs anymore. You don't need the seances anymore. You don't need the astral projection anymore. You don't need any of that stuff. You found what you're looking for. When we got home, just like Pastor Sutton's experience, I'm sure, we put all our junk in a bag, walked it out into the dumpster, and chucked it away, and I never needed it ever again. Amen. But I have needed some more of that water. Plenty of time. Amen. How many feel like you could use some water tonight? Maybe there's some heat in your life, some pressure in your life. Let me tell you what the answer is. It's more water, more water, more water, more blessing, more talking in tongues, more getting in the spirit. Amen. More hand clapping, more amen, more singing, and letting God just wash over you and bubble up within you. Joy unspeakable. And full of glory. Everything shall live, and there shall be a very great, Pastor, great multitude of fish. God's got bigger things for you. God's got a greater revival for you. There's a multitude of fish. Amen. I said there's a multitude of fish because these waters shall come thither. You've got some water in this church. Every time you say amen, there's a little more water. Every time you lift your hands, there's a little more water. Every time you go to a prayer meeting, there's a little more water. Amen. Look at it, Pastor. You're going to have a multitude of fish because these waters shall come hither. Even tonight, there's somebody out there that's going, what was that? Because waters are flowing from the altar of God right into this city through this church, and water's getting on people tonight. They don't even know what's touching them. They don't even know what they're feeling. They don't even know what's going on. But sooner or later, one of you is going to meet one of them, and you're going to say, hey, come on to my church. Something in them is going to start jumping up and down. Something in them is going to say, hey, I don't understand this, but I feel like going, because the tree that's cut down is getting the scent of water. Water. I gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it, gotta have it. There's a multitude of fish because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. Your lives have been healed. You're not what you used to be. You're not where you used to be. You don't have the problems you used to have. You don't have the difficulties you used to have because the water got in your life. And it healed you. My, my, my. And everything shall live. Whew. Whither the river cometh. I don't think I'm making a mountain out of a molehill here. I think Satan wants to make a molehill out of the mountain. I think it's important that not only those four people today got a drink of water. It's so important for them to get another drink tomorrow, and another drink in a home Bible study, and another drink in a home fellowship group, and another drink at a prayer meeting. And because if they don't drink again, they'll wither up and they'll dry up and they'll die. Oh God, help us get a Bible study to them. Help us get a friendship with them so they can keep drinking water. Would you lift your hands and give him high praise for just a minute? Come on, I think you can do better than that. I really do. I know you're tired. Drink. Why don't you talk in tongues again? Drink. Drink some more water. Drink some more water. Everything's going to live. If I can get a backslider to the house of God, he's going to live. I can get a lost soul to the house of God, life is going to be there. If I can get my neighbor to church, life is going to be there. If I can go find somebody used to come here and get them back, their spirit's going to start coming up. Amen. Because you can't get in the spirit without your spirit starting to come alive. Is anybody alive here tonight? See, that's why Satan wants to put sin back in your life, because it cuts you off from the water. That's why, was it the Amalekites that filled up the wells that Abraham and Doug and Isaac had a choice? Go somewhere else or pull out the shovels, get the backhoes, and dig out these wells till we hit water. The Amalekites could not destroy the Jews, and so they tried to cut off their water supply, because they knew if they don't have water, they can't live here, and they'll leave. And so they filled them up with earth, the Bible says. Carnality will stuff up your well. Earthiness will stuff up your spirit. And they decided, this is our land and we ain't leaving. Somebody get a shovel. Somebody get a pick. And they redug the wells until they hit water. Ladies and gentlemen, there comes a time you got to get serious about your relationship. And the devil tries to stuff up the well because he can't whip you. But if he can cut you off from your water supply, he knows you're going to dry up and die. Come on, somebody. Dig up your well. Get back to those living waters, because that's how you're going to live. That's how we're going to live. That's how we're going to live, by touching Jesus and letting Jesus touch us, by getting in the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost get in us. Would you praise him with a loud voice? Would you get a hold of somebody and put your hand on their shoulder and give God some praise? Let it flow out of your belly where, like rivers of living water. Let it flow from you. Let it flow through you. Let yourself be a well for somebody else to drink from. Whew. My, 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 my. Back to the PowerPoint. Go back to Luke 8 and 6 in the New Living Translations, two slides before the title. You may be seated. You recall we read Luke 8 and 6 from the New Living Translation. Look at it again, please, and I promise you I will be done in about 13 minutes. All right, can you hang with me? Is anybody waterlogged? We haven't drunk enough water. You know, when we baptized, we used to baptize. Well, I saw it today. And this church so reminds me of one of our buildings. I saw a water trail after church down through the hallway, because somebody had been underwater. And they, when they walked, they left a trail. Wet people leave a trail. Amen. Dry people don't leave nothing. Ooh, that just went right in there, didn't it? And so somebody walked like this. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Do you know, sir, you're from Portugal? Is that correct? Roots are from Portugal. Do you know, sir, if in Portugal they have raisins? Let's take a wild guess. All right. You know what a raisin is? It's a backslid grape. It's an old, withered up, wrinkled up, dried up grape. It's a grape. It ain't got no juice. It had all the juice dried up because it got taken off the vine and put out in the sun. You see, there's heat out there. And if you're not attached to the vine, excuse me, I need to drink more water. And so this backslid grape was nice and whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Now it's raisin. And it used to be a nice, plump, juicy grape. And then it quit praying, quit reading its Bible, got mad at the preacher, got upset at Sister So-and-so because she looked at her the wrong way back in 1937. She can remember the day clearer than the day she got married. I remember. You know the story of the Hatfields and the McCoys? Somebody said, yeah, who was that? And from West Virginia? Thank you for sharing.
That's funny, isn't it? Oh, God.
Well, I was thinking of the Hatfields and the McCoys from West Virginia. They had a feud, and a pig, I just found this out about 3 weeks ago, a pig that was headed to Nick and Mike's, or whatever those two gay guys are. It's a mighty big knot you got there. And a short tie. What's the deal with that? Anyway, they got it for half off. That's what he said.
That was good. Well, that was good.
All right. A pig escaped from the Hatfields and crossed a creek, and the McCoys got it. And the McCoys wouldn't give it back. Finders keepers, losers weepers. And so a war started. And for a couple of generations, the Hatfields hated the McCoys, and the McCoys hated the Hatfields. Hard to remember all them names, ain't it?
Sure enough.
Over a pig. And they were killing each other. That's what a little root of bitterness can do to you. If somebody gets your pig, what are Jews doing with pigs anyway? If somebody gets your goat, somebody, if you've been saved 20 minutes, somebody hurts your feelings. It's not worth a Hatfield and a McCoy over it. It's not worth drying up and withering up. That's giving Satan an advantage, Pastor. And so this nice, plump, juicy grape dried up and became a raisin. That was a good one. You know what a prune is? It's a backslid plum. Now the grape walks like this. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. When you go to school, Sister Sneakers, whoosh, you ought to go in so drenched and wet. Whoosh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. With a glow on your face. We got nothing to be ashamed of. Hey, if they can dye their hair purple and look like tropical fish, why can't we look like human beings and not be ashamed? Come on. And so a plum walks like this. A prune is a very moving experience. Satan wants grapes to turn into raisins and plums to turn into prunes. How do I know this? I heard it through the grapevine.
Honey, honey.
What's he gonna do next? Everybody that wants to be a raisin, would you shout amen? Amen.
I gotta start all over again. Gotta start all over again.
Would you like a repeat test? Everybody that wants to be a raisin, say amen. Everybody that wants to be a grape full of juice for Jesus, shout praise the Lord. Everybody that wants to be a prune, would you shout hallelujah? Everybody that wants to be a plum for God, you want to be plum blessed. You want to be plum anointed. You want to be plum powerful. You want to be plum soul winner. You want to be a plum Bible study teacher. You ain't going to backslide. You're going to walk. Everybody lift your hands and start talking in tongues again and get juiced up. Get juiced up. Drink more water. Drink more water. Hallelujah. Couple of points, we're out of here. It died for lack of moisture. The implication here, Pastor, is if it had just had some more water, just a little bit more, if it had come to one more service, if it had went to one more prayer meeting, if it had just talked in tongues one more time, if it had just got another drink, maybe, just maybe, it could have had the strength to break through the rocky parts. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is important. I'm sorry. Not really, but I want to act like it, and maybe you won't be mad. But I got to make this point. See, I don't think the sower of the seed threw a pile of seed in the thorns and a pile of seed in the rocks. And then, hey, here's some good ground. I think I'll throw some there. I think all the ground looked the same. I think the thorny ground, you see, the Bible says in the thorny ground that the thorn grew up with the seed. That means there were two seeds. It was ground that used to have thorns, at least this is what I think, used to have thorns that had been cleaned out, but there were still thorn seeds in the ground. The ground being our carnal nature. There was just not a pile of rocks, but it was underlying rock. It looked like good soil, but underneath there was some rocky places, some tough spots, some hard spots. Amen. Listen to me. And I don't think there was in this pure, good potting soil ground. I think all the ground, and you can't tell what's dominant in a person by looking at them, but I think every ground, I think every one of us has some thorns in our ground, has some rocks in our ground, and has got good ground. And as far as I'm concerned, if you got enough ground to get the seed going, you got enough grace to take care of any thorn, you got enough grace to cut down any thorn branch that wants to choke you, you got enough grace and enough of God to get through, because there's some hard places in every one of us. Let's all stand. That'll make you think you're about to get out of here. And if the musicians will come and not do anything, that'll give them a lot of hope. Where was I? Yeah. You see, you remember when you first got the Holy Ghost? And how old were you when you got the Holy Ghost, sis? 14. I need an adult. Got the Holy Ghost as an adult. All right. How old were you when you got the Holy Ghost, sister? You were 32, 29. Okay, like half of you was 32, but the other half was lagging behind. I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. I can't help it. Do you remember that some things You just got over and got through like that. But then there were other things that weren't so easy. Make sense? Your seed was growing through the soil, but then hit a rocky place. There are some stubborn places in us, little rocky places. There are some hardness in us, some rocky places. And when you hit a tough spot, that's when Satan wants to get an advantage. You thought you hit a wall. You thought it was the devil resisting you. And what it really was your own nature, where you hit a hard place. You hit a place you didn't want to change so easily. You hit a place you didn't want to give up so easily. You hit a place you weren't sure whether you wanted to pay the price. You didn't run into the devil, you ran into you. That's pretty good, I think. Shame it took me an hour and a half to get there, ain't it? And I believe that if you're alive spiritually, there isn't any rocky place. Sister 2932, what's your name? Is it Mary or Sue? What'd she say? Erica. You've been here since 2003, 2005, now 2 years, and you've already said to us you hit some tough spots. But you wouldn't still be here, Erica, if you didn't get some more moisture and get the strength you needed to break through some of those tough spots. I congratulate you. Satan wanted to take advantage of you right there and say, I thought God was with you. I thought you were saved. Look at you now. You ain't got what you had. Yes, you did. You just need to grasp some more grace, Erica, because you hit a rocky place. There's no rock in you that God can't help you break up. There's no tough spot in you that God can't help you get through. You can grow in Christ. You can be successful. You can be a plum. You don't have to be a grape. You don't have to be a raisin. I'm sorry, I didn't get past page one. I have 14 pages in this sermon. I guess I'll have to come back for a month in order to finish it. But if I could just convince you, drink water every time you can. Don't say, well, tonight I just feel like sitting it out, you know. No, when you don't feel like it, that's when you need to do it the most. It's something about a scent, even just the scent of water. You can't go anywhere with Pastor Sutton without having him invite somebody to church. Every time I've been with him through the years, he said, meet somebody here. By the way, I need to tell you, here's a card. You need to come to church. You know what? You need to come to church. I mean, we're standing at the hotel. I've been traveling 85 billion miles for 25,000 hours. I'm ready to check in. The chick is ready to give me my keys. He's got to take time to witness to her. You know why? Here's a soul. Here's another soul. Because when you're soaking wet, water's going to splash off. You got to share it with somebody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming. I love you. I hope I blessed you in some way. Would you take somebody by the hand, bow your head. Father, in the name of Jesus, you give life-giving water. Your presence is life-giving. Spring up, oh well, spring up. Spring up, oh well, spring up. Hikaranamahaka sharabahaka. Oh, Koreyana la Mahakashai. Oh, Lobahokuria, Mama Marianna la Mahakashatai. Hikala la Mahakashatai. Did you know if you get physically.